The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Hello, dudes and lady dudes, and welcome to the THN Answer of the Week. My name's Matt Baum. I am one of the heads of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. Across from me is Joe Patrick. He's the other one. Say hi, buddy.
I am Joe Patrick.
Each week, the aforementioned Joe Patrick puts the question of the week up on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. You would love it there. There's all kinds of cool nerds there talking about comics. You should go there, too. And then you guys can call us at 402-819-4894. It's our Google voicemail. Don't worry. You're not actually going to talk to us. You just get a pleasant recording.
It's the last thing we want to, believe me.
And you can leave your two-minute message there, or you can send us an email to twoheadednerd@gmail.com with your MP3 response to the question, and then we play those responses here on this show. But before we can get started, I need Joe Patrick to reset the question of the week.
This week's question came from Black Scorpion the Three, who was inspired by The Gambler.
He's the hardest working man on the forums. He really is.
That's true. That's true. He said, I was listening to The Gambler and I thought, hey, this would make a great comic. So he wants to know, what inherently non-comic thing would you like to see made into a comic book?
Okay.
I don't have an answer.
I've got one.
Okay.
I've got a few.
Oh, boy. You might have to give me one. We're going to kick things off with Anthony from Brooklyn.
Take it away, Anthony. Ah.
Hello, Joe and Matt. Hello, listen nerds. It's Anthony from Brooklyn. And here's my pitch. George Parker, man of action. Swan Parker, brilliant academic. Two brothers seeking adventure in the game of life. No pursuit too trivial. No risk too great. These are the untold tales of the Parker brothers. So my non-comic comic is called The Untold Tales of the Parker Brothers. It's a 1930s adventure romp inspired by concepts and titles of Parker Brothers board games. For example, the first story arc is entitled 1313 Dead End Drive, where the brothers attend the reading of their Aunt Agatha's will. They find that they must escape their aunt's trap-filled mansion by midnight in order to gain their inheritance. It's an actual board game. Spoilers, they do, and use their new fortune to fund their adventures, like the time they encounter extraterrestrials in a storyline called Probe.
Is that a game?
Or when they do battle with a demon in a story called Hey Pa, There's a Goat on the Roof. And who could forget when the brothers are introduced to recurring villain and femme fatale, Millie Bornet, who both of the brothers are secretly in love with, in the story entitled Stop Thief. But seriously, just Google George S. Parker and Parker Brothers board games and you'll see like a serious amount of untapped potential. Perhaps a silent issue called Pictionary. My idea of a creative team for this would be to reteam the Starman creative team of James Robinson and Tony Harris. I think James Robinson's creative and would enjoy doing this kind of thing. And Tony Harris's art, like his total art deco look he had for Starman, would totally lend itself to this title. And finally, thanks to Black Scorpion the Three for coming up with this question, because it was super fun to come up with an answer for this. Thanks, guys. Hope you like my answer. Bye.
It's a great pitch.
Well, nothing that I come up with is going to top that.
I would read that every month. That was great. That was great. I've never heard of those games, and I've just realized.
Well, I've heard of Mealborns, which is a French-themed card game.
I don't know any of those. I apparently there's a huge gap.
There's a Goat on the Roof is a new one.
I know nothing about the Parker Brothers. Okay.
Apparently, they were very interesting.
Not a board game guy, I admit. I like board games as much as the next guy, I guess. I just don't know shit about them.
Thank you, Anthony.
That was great. Who's next?
Moving on to the Google Voice. It is a mystery caller.
Oh.
Transcript not available.
Ooh. Could be a bad guy.
Hey, guys. It's Carl Smith.
I would like
to see The Secret of NIMH turned into a comic book series.
Whoa.
I think it could be handled a lot of different ways. Just by chance, Wooly Toots posted a picture from the show after I decided that was going to be my answer. And he mentioned how wonderful the movie is, of course, but how Mrs. Frisbee, depending if you read the book or watch the show, is kind of a good prototype for a female hero in a story, in an adventure fantasy story. And I think that's true. I think there could be a lot done with that. I mean, she's a single parent. She's been widowed, and she's taking care of her sick kid and is trying to do whatever she can to help the family, and gets kind of tied up into things bigger than herself and still kind of rises to the task. So I think the themes there are well. As far as Don Bluth's movie, he used the old school animation style where they were painted backgrounds and the cells kind of just moved over the front of them. So instead of like CGI movies of today where they build these entire immersive worlds that have depth and all sorts of nooks and crannies, and it's sort of animation masturbation. They have to show it all. They have to go through and show all the hard work and time they put into it, and they feel like all the action sequences have to manipulate all the little tricks that they've used. But, you know, back then, it was just the cells and the characters, you know, in front of these backgrounds kind of telling the story. And I think that would work good and translate well into a comic book, because the characterizations and the interactions are going to be what draw you into this. There's some wonderful visuals in there. I think even if you went with the scientific aspect like the book, or if you went to the fantasy aspect that's in the movie, either way it'd be a great story. You know, with Mice Templar ending, we're going to be left with just the Mouse Guard as far as our mice theme books on the stand, so I don't think it'll be too crowded to replace the one with another excellent one. And that's my take. Thanks.
I like that he's filling that void of mouse themed fantasy. That's good. Secret of Nim was a great movie.
I love Secret of Nim.
It was creepy.
Love
too.
It.
If you go back and watch it, you will be surprised that it was a kid's movie. It was creepy stuff.
It's barely a kid's movie, yeah. But yeah.
It was great. I like that answer. Thank you very much, Camarillo Brillo.
Yeah, I love that answer too.
That was awesome. These answers are fantastic so far. I feel like mine kind of sucks compared to these.
Way to go, jerk. All right. So Demetrius Murray sent in two answers, one of which was answering last week's question.
Well, too bad.
Thank you for your diligence. We are not playing that on the show.
Sorry, you're late. Really late.
But here we are with his answer to the non-comic comic he would like to see.
How's it going, guys? It's D again, answering your question of the week. And my answer for you is going to be Shoot 'Em Up. Oh, my goodness. I love that movie with Clive Owen and Monica Bellucci. That movie is just so damn wacky and zany and silly, campy. Every weird freaking word you can think about, that's what this movie is. The whole scene with the carrot and, like, the breast milk, just... If that was a comic book, I would rush to my comic book stores every single month just to buy that damn comic book. But the real question is, who would do the art for it? Who would do the freaking art for that comic book? Because it couldn't be half-assed. Something that spectacular could not be half-assed. It has to be like the coolest freaking cartoonist out there. I got nothing. Maybe like Immonen, Stuart Immonen, the guy who did the all new X-Men. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I probably said his name wrong too. But yeah, that's my answer.
Debatable.
You guys take it easy.
Kyle Baker. Kyle Baker could nail that.
I don't know. Kyle Baker.
You want it as screwball as possible. I didn't particularly care for that movie.
Oh, I thought Shoot 'Em Up was fun. Oh, no, I'm thinking of Smokin' Aces.
Yeah, that was different. Shoot 'Em Up was bizarre. It was a weird experiment in action. And that's the best I can give it. I'm glad you liked it, D. That's great. It's a good answer. And it would certainly lend itself to a comic book medium. I'll give you that.
The man himself, Black Scorpion the Three, sends in his answer along with the following note. Although the gambler inspired the question, I've gone another direction, a very different direction.
Okay.
The past week, I've been obsessively thinking about the comic adaptation of a character already welcomed into the homes of millions, and a character that already has his own theme song, composed by none other than Weird Al Yankovic. I hope the comics industry is listening, because like everything this guy works with, this would be a sure seller.
Okay.
And then he says, and yes, his arsenal will be posted on the THN forums for your viewing pleasure. I have no idea what he's talking
Charles
about.
Charles Nelson Reilly or Yoda, I guess, are my guesses. I was wrong.
Nerds, I love The Gambler, but translating ballads into comics might be too easy. So instead, I thought of something more outside of comics that would be great as a comic. I thought of Ron Popeil, multimillionaire, inventor, and pitchman for items like Mr. Microphone, the Set It and Forget It Showtime Rotisserie, the Showtime Knife Set, and the Pocket Fisherman. And the more I think about it, the more I wonder, why hasn't this been done? I mean, a millionaire with an advanced arsenal? That's comics, am I right? And this is how I imagine it. The year is 1994, an inventor turned pitchman, Ron Popeil, is interrupted in his lab. This better be important. My newest breakthrough could finally bring peace to the Middle East. I'm sorry, Mr. Popeil, but it's urgent. There's been another incident. Fine, fine. I guess the price of a brilliant mind is that it's always needed for others. Give me the address and I'll be right over. Hopping into his Dodge Vegematic, his own car design fueled by food waste, Ron screeches to a halt at the crime scene. Behind the caution tape is a corpse penetrated by exactly 25 pieces of cutlery. Ron, I think this is a message. This is the third victim we found this week using your inventions. First the solid food injector, then the smokeless ashtray, and now 25 knives from your Showtime Star Knife series. What monster could have done this? You see, now that you've got the tone, the series would involve Ron Popeil using his special talents and gadgets to solve these murders. I have an idea for this particular story arc and where it would go. As the Popeil gadget murders accumulate, our story climaxes in a chase scene where Ron lassos the fleeing culprit with his pocket fisherman. Unmasking the suspect is discovered to be none other than George Foreman in a plot to tarnish the Ronco name so his own George Foreman chicken rotisserie could rule the infomercial market. Ron Popeil would look over George Foreman, safely secured by the pocket fisherman, and say, "You monster, prison is too good for you." Then turning to the reader, "George Foreman thought this case could stay unsolved forever, but like every case I've ever taken, it's time to set it and forget it." Nerds, that's my pick. Check out Ron Popeil's arsenal that I've posted to the THN forums, and until next time, make mine Ronco.
I demand a Ron Popeil comic now. That was awesome. Why are all our listeners not working in comics? That was amazing.
That was very impressive.
That was truly impressive.
yeah, that would be great. A Ron Popeil crime procedural.
That would be amazing.
Next up, it's none other than Randy Andrews.
Oh, boy.
Let's see what he has to say.
By the way, nobody more excited to see us at O-Comic-Con than Randy Andrews.
Not true.
Don't interrupt the man. We'll talk about it later.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question
Fuck
of the Rue week.
Banzai. That's what he's
this
got planned.
This week, you had asked about what would we blatantly want, well, as a non-comic thing that we'd like to see as a comic. And how would we imagine it? Well, guys, I think it would be really interesting and fun to kind of take the whole idea of Watergate and the whole press investigation with Woodward and Bernstein and turn it into a comic. But not just that, make it more fantastical and make it more noir. Make it a black and white comic. In fact, add some little bits of color to make it unique. And not just make it boring, but add maybe a little action to it. So that's all I've got this week, guys. And my music this week is from Buckaroo Banzai, the soundtrack. And check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. And we'll see you in a week. Bye for now.
If you ask me, if you give me 100 guesses as to what Randy Andrews is going to say, the Watergate scandal is not one of them. Wow, I did not see him going there. That would be a fantastic comic book.
Yeah, like a noir, like Brubaker and Phillips.
It'd be great.
Bring you Watergate.
I would like to see
Matt Fraction and Howard Chaykin.
Like the guys that just did March. Like people that do like,
oh gosh,
you know,
yeah.
Real historical
Nate Powell.
Comics. That would be incredible. I would love to see that story.
Maybe Richard Nixon can write it.
Bad news. He's in hell.
Oh, terrible. Thank you, Randy. And Randy. That is an interesting and unexpected answer from you.
Not to mention the Buckaroo Banzai theme really threw me off. I thought we were going to go like further adventures of the rock and roll Cavaliers or whatever their name, the band was.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
It's the Orca.
Let's go, the Orca.
I'm old. I've said that before, if I recall, but let's give it a little context. The hairs I got left were all between my knees and moved lower on a hot day.
Wow.
I'll give Joseph a second to catch up to that one. They all turned gray 50 years ago.
Oh, he means his testicles.
I've seen a lot. The 30s was the toughest. The 70s had the best drugs. As I indicated a few weeks back, the aughts had the best funny books. The 50s had the best cars. The 90s had diddly. The 60s had the best beavers because they weren't the linoleum you boys enjoy today. They were straight up shag carpeting, and it was plentiful. Free love and all.
Woo!
But the best entertainment came from the 1980s. The movies, Atari, the music, D&D, Nintendo, choose your own adventure books, He-Man, the list goes on and on. And my answer this week is the single best catalog of all the fun we nerds had back then. Ernest Cline's novel, Ready Player One. I had more fun reading that book than I do raping sheep. It was perfect.
Jesus.
It was great dystopian sci-fi, combined with more nostalgic memories than my notched-up bedpost. It had numerous settings that would make each issue of a 12-issue maxi-series different from the last. The stuff a good artist could do, say Sean Murphy, could be really interesting to look at. I'd have Ernie Cline co-write it with a competent comic scribe that wouldn't F with the material too much. Let's say we pulled Judd Winnick away from his Asian honeypot from the real world long enough for him to scratch it out. And let's do it all before Mr. Spielberg turns into Tintin 3 and ruins it for me. Kiss, kiss, boys. Good question.
I don't know Ready Player One. I believe occasional guest host Dave DeMarco was a huge fan of those books. I haven't read them. I'm aware of them.
I've absolutely heard of it, but I have not read it.
I am aware of them. And it's a deep cut from the 80s. We know the Orca's an old man. He grew up. I don't think he's a whole lot older than we are, to be honest. But.
Well, Matt, he was alive in the 30s.
Well, the way he puts it, he's now effectively like Maine's Wolverine. All right. He's been around. He's seen it all. Thank you, Da Orca, for your call, as always. It was,
and thank you for those.
He's also a sex addict, I think.
Just indelible visuals that are now seared onto my brain.
Love the guy. I love him.
We're trucking right along.
Yeah.
It's Elise Wisdom.
The only girl that calls us. Thank you, Elise. I don't know where all the other ladies are. They hate us.
I saw Princess Ashley on TV yesterday.
That's what I heard. She's in a TV commercial, right?
Yeah, for Intel, whatever.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
She's coming up.
Yep.
She's coming up.
It was fun.
Who knows?
Elise says, I recorded this two Bloody Marys into my evening.
All right.
Greetings from Knoxville, Tennessee.
I always thought of the Bloody Mary as more of a breakfast drink, but that's me.
That's because you're an alcoholic.
No, that's what people drink at brunch.
Mm-hmm.
You would know that if you went to adult restaurants.
What is that?
Hello, this is Elise Wisdom here to record this week's answer. I almost went with Russian history as my answer because you could just name it and then things got worse. Like, and every issue would be another example about how things seem to get a little bit better, but then things got worse. But I actually have a better answer. And yes, I'm drunk. Don't judge me. My better answer I have is the Vega brothers. Quentin Tarantino has said for a long time that he wanted to make a movie about Vince and Vic Vega, Michael Madsen and John Travolta, respectively, and it never came to be. And I think it's way too late this stage in the game to make that movie.
We would need to recast
that. But I think
they
could definitely make it into a comic book, and it would be an awesome comic book. They could meet in a coffee shop or a diner and talk about exactly what happened. I would like to think that what happened is John Travolta's character was supposed to be watching the goods that his brother ultimately went down for. Maybe he was having a really bad trip on some heroin and his big brother had to come bail him out and watch the goods instead of him. And then he got busted and he went to jail. And then John Travolta had to go to Amsterdam to lay low for a while.
Whoa.
And they both come back. Like, John Travolta comes back from Amsterdam the same time that Michael Madsen is getting out of prison, and they can sit down and talk about exactly what happened and make amends. Meanwhile, they have flashbacks to some odd jobs that they did together. Maybe they have an odd job where they stumble across a bar called the Titty Twister and they fight vampires, not zombies.
Just going to bring up the Gecko Brothers.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty great. So that's my idea for a non-comic related thing that could be made into a comic. Hope you guys like it. And Wisdom out.
I love it. I totally love it.
The only limitation I can think of is that from the moment you see those dudes in the present, you've got a very short window of time before they are both brutally murdered.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. But you have their entire past to explore.
Yeah, that's absolutely
right.
That's
the thing. You could start as kids. Like, where'd they go wrong? Oh, man.
Vincent Vega.
I would love to see the Vega brothers versus the Gecko brothers. That would be awesome. Totally awesome.
I thought the Gecko brothers were from Lost Boys.
No. That was the Frog Brothers.
The Frog Brothers.
Yes. amphibian, not a reptile.
Got it.
Yeah. From Dusk Till Dawn crossover. Oh, man, that'd be cool.
All right. I don't know what this is.
All right.
Hi, my name is Adam, and the saddest comic character is Charlie Brown. He has
Sorry, Adam. Welcome aboard.
Sad
last
kid.
Week. When did Adam call that in?
Yesterday at 12:30 in the morning.
Oh, right on f-ing time. Nice shooting, Adam.
Adam, thank you so much for calling in. We had not only already recorded that show, but it was just hours away from actually being posted.
That's right. You got to pay attention to rules, buddy. Get on board. We would love to hear your answer to the question, but it has to be the proper week's question.
Right. You need to get that in by Friday. When you see the question, you got until the following Friday to do it. Charlie Brown, though, that came up.
He's a very depressed boy.
In the last show. Absolutely agree.
Very depressed boy.
All right. Next up, another Google voice call.
I like the Google voice getting play. I like that.
Yeah, for a while there,
everybody got all MP3 on me. The gang was swelling with numbers.
Yeah. Unruly.
Hey, guys. Hope you had a great time at OCON. Sounds like you did. Jealous. I wish I could have gone, but I was busy in Arizona the weekend before and couldn't get out to Omaha. Maybe I'll see you or some of you guys at San Diego. So hit me up on the Twitters at Jason Sachs or give me a call or whatever. We'll figure it out. So my dream project, something I've been wanting to do for years, is a comic book biography of Lou Reed. Lou Reed, of course, is one of the great rock and roll performers of our time. He's got a really, I think, interesting life. Born to immigrants, hung out with Andy Warhol in the Velvet Underground, got into drugs, lived in Berlin for a time, and what apparently was a very debauched life. Lived the life of a senior rock and roller, the glam rock life, married to Laurie Anderson. I just think he's got a really interesting, intriguing life with lots of cool stories. The question is what I should call it. I was thinking of calling it maybe Perfect Day, or His Life Was Saved by Rock and Roll, or New Sensations, even though that album was terrible.
It was a great title.
If you have any ideas, maybe Walk on the Wild Side.
You got to call it Vicious, man. Got to call it Vicious.
Anyway, thanks, guys. Catch you later. Bye.
It has to be called Vicious. I think it'd be perfect. It's a great Lou Reed song, too.
All right.
You don't even know that song, do you?
Not really.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I mean, I know who Lou Reed is.
I would love to read a Lou Reed biography comic. That would be awesome. And not like a rock and roll comics, Lou Reed.
Right. Rock and roll biographies.
Those are horrible.
Thank you. Thanks to the upswell in Google voice calls, Jason Sachs provides us with this week's title for the answer of the week, Orange Immigrants.
Okay, I like it a lot.
What's this, another Google voice call? What?
Can't be stopped. I love it.
Hey guys, this is Zach Hollowell calling in. So I almost didn't call in this week because my answer is very Omaha-centric and might not translate well to other people. But I think Matt's going to really kind of be behind this one. So Omaha has a great history of having really great places like Legend where we can go and, you know, have a lot of friends, hang out. Growing up, there was one place that was so central to Omaha, and that's the Antiquarium. And I really think that a comic book about the Antiquarium and the craft that went on there would really be interesting to me. For those of you who aren't from Omaha, you can kind of think of maybe the movie High Fidelity is about as close as you're going to get.
Totally.
It wasn't really like that, but, you know, it was record store snobbery at its highest. But when you went in, it was actually a bookstore upstairs, and, you know, there's Dave Sink, or I'm sorry, not Dave, it was Tom upstairs, and everyone around, you know, talking about Kierkegaard and crap, and you go past them. Dave Sink was downstairs, all known as the Arbiter of Taste in Omaha at one point. all my best friends all worked there, Brad, Simon, Kevin. It was so intimidating for people to go down there and buy records because you were judged on everything you did. And I think that could translate into a really funny, like, black and white, independent, you know, dry humor kind of comic. For the artist, I kind of like to see maybe somebody like James Sturm do it. Maybe Chester Brown, even
Ooh,
possibly.
Aiming high.
There's just so many funny stories and things that translate well. Like, one time Kevin Jones was working and guy came in and asked where the goth section was, and without, you know, even looking up, he just picks up the trash can and puts it on the, you know, counter. It's just so many funny stories come out of that place, and I really think it translates well into a comic. So that's my answer. Have a good one, boys. See ya.
I would want Peter Bagg to draw it because Dave Sink looked like a human Peter Bagg character. And I will say I grew up in the Antiquarian along with Zach. I loved that place. Upstairs was the snootiest bookstore in the world, and downstairs.
It is. It really is like
far and away the record snootiest store, record store.
It is like the record
universe.
Store from High Fidelity. If he had a 3-story building with a bookstore and a weird ass art gallery.
It's true.
And it's a magical place, and I'm sad it's gone.
Dave Sink is the reason that I am a musician. He's the reason that I listen to music that I listen to. I loved that man. I never hated him. I always thought this is like an amazing like zoo animal that I just want to watch. Like, you know, he was incredible. I would order Slayer records on vinyl, and he'd be like, "Your awful death metal has shown up, Matt." And he was like, "Would you like to take this juvenile piece of crap out of my record store?" And I would say, "Dave, you know, I think I'd like to listen to it first." And I would come back and put it on and subject him to it. It was so great. Like, his tricks didn't work on me. And like, as much as he came after me, I would just go right back at him. It was so much fun.
See, I didn't really spend my teen years in Omaha, and so I was an adult when I started going to the Antiquarium with regularity, and I never really had those experiences with him. And in fact, I don't even know if he was ever there when I went in. Like Zach said, he had help that covered the place from time to time.
It's true. It's true. And later on, his health degenerated.
But
we lost Dave, unfortunately.
But I did love that place.
He smoked a million cigarettes a day, and it killed him.
Yeah, there's your lesson, kids.
There you go.
That is a great answer and absolutely very niche, but
it would translate perfectly. And I mean, anyone who's been into a record store could read that story and be like, "I had a similar experience at this place," or like, "I hate hipsters."
That's awesome. Great call, Zach.
Excellent call.
Brace yourself, everybody. It's Toots time.
Toots time, guys. Yeah, that's right. And my answer is the 1974 Hammer Films classic, Captain Kronos, the Vampire Hunter.
Oh, man.
The minute I watched that movie the first time, I was like, this needs to be a comic book. And the guy even has his own logo already. It's a cool stylized K in a circle. And the movie was supposed to be the beginning of a series, but they never did more than just this first film, which means it's even there's more story to tell. Of course there is. You've got Captain Kronos. He was a soldier in the Imperial Army. And now he hunts vampires with his hunchback friend, Professor Grost, who drives his wagon. And the wagon is just filled with all kinds of vampire fighting tools. And then they even pick up Carla, the sexy gypsy girl, who was played by Caroline Munro at the height of her sexiness. And she was a guest at O Comic-Con this year. I got her autograph. I'm super thrilled. Thank you, John Bunger. There's so much to be explored here. Why does Captain Kronos, you know, leech himself? Why does he smoke these Chinese herbs? And when he meditates, he covers himself with a burlap
sack over his head? And how did he get his samurai sword? You know, there's so much history that we don't know. It's not explained. Could all be done in a comic book. Could be great. And not only that, let's not make him just hunt vampires. Let's make him hunt the supernatural. He could hunt witches. He could hunt werewolves and necromancers and all sorts of bad news bears like golems and the undead. So you can go watch the movie. Hammer Films has their own YouTube channel. The movie is on there in its entirety. I urge you to watch it. It is super rad. So there you have it, guys. Captain Kronos. That's my answer of the week.
I love Captain Kronos. I love the old Hammer horror films. That's a kick-ass answer.
Never saw it.
Oh, man. It's totally great. And he's right. You can watch them all for free on YouTube. And you totally should. They were so much fun. Horst Janssen was the actor that played Captain Kronos. I couldn't remember his name, but I could see his face. Fantastic stuff. I love it. I love it. I'm giving it 10 stars on IMDb right now.
10 stars?
10 stars. I'm giving them all the damn stars. There were no votes. There were no votes for Captain Kronos. So Captain Kronos and IMDb is officially sitting at 10 stars. That's awesome. And you're welcome.
Are you ready for the final caller?
I'm ready for the final caller.
It's first time, long time.
Well, we haven't heard from him for a little bit.
Okay, hello there, two-headed nerd. I'm a first time, long time. I had to call. You know, this question got me very excited. I had a good answer for this. I did. You know, it was on your. Do your lesson nerds all go to your lesson nerds? You need to go to the forum. It's very enjoyable. But anyway, on your forum there was a very. Oh, she's a very, very lovely lady. Elise, I think, is her name. She put up there a comment months ago. What you liked outside of comics and different. And I responded to it. I did. That's right. Matt, don't chase Elise. Don't get away from her windows. That's not very gentlemanly, Matt. Anyways, so I commented. So I'm going to give you the answer I gave back there. That's what I wanted to use for my answer. If you know, it was 1965. Wait, Harry Harrison is a great author. One of my favorite authors. He wrote a book, Bill the Galactic Hero. Now, I know no of you, nobody's heard of it. I know, but okay. You know Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Yeah? You like that? Do you? Read Bill the Galactic Hero. 1965, like I said, it came out. Here, you look at Hitchhiker's Guide, a lot of that pulls from Bill the Galactic Hero. It absolutely funny, great book. I'd love to see this. Well, doggone it, if I didn't go to the Googles and I looked in, Topps Comics made a Bill the Galactic Hero comic in 1994. What the? I can't use that. That's not my answer. Oh, yeah. Oh, you stupid Topps. So my answer is going to be Fantasy Island. I like that show. It was very, very. Now, here's what you do. Don't laugh. Don't laugh.
I didn't know we were laughing.
What you do with Fantasy Island, you have a different writer and a different artist every month. They can do whatever fantasy they want to do. Revolving artists, Now, there you go. Isn't that pretty good? It is, isn't it? Okay, so that's my answer. We'll talk to you guys again. All right, bye-bye.
Fantasy Island. I would read Fantasy Island. I would totally read it.
He really took us on a journey.
He really did. I appreciate it, though, and it was fun. Good to hear from you again. First time, long time.
It was fun.
I would read Fantasy Island. You have the same artist, like creator, introduce it every time with Huerve Villachase and Ricardo Montalban as your main characters.
Both deceased.
We lost them too soon. Rest in peace, brothers.
Huerve Villachase, yeah. But Ricardo Montalban was.
I love the answer. Has Joe Patrick, actually, before we get into that, favorite call. Let's talk our favorite calls. Hold on. I know mine. I'm going with Anthony. The Parker Brothers pitch. That was incredible. It was fully fleshed out. He had several different games that I'd never heard of. He already attached his creator team, Robinson and Harris. Love that team. That was a great pitch.
Yeah, I got to give it to Anthony.
I was right there with Elise, the Vega brothers. I would love to read that book too.
I mean, honestly, I think these are all pretty great.
Everybody killed this. everyone killed this. This was, I couldn't believe the answers.
Yeah.
Very creative. Nobody got anywhere near each other. It was all way out of left field. Yeah. I'm like, not even close to a repeat answer.
But I gotta say, Anthony, right out of the gate, he nailed it with the pitch. Like, very fleshed out. He had titles. He had creators.
Yeah.
He had plots. It was.
And I love that you all picked a creative team. That was great.
Oh, that was stupendous.
Yeah.
All right. So I had a hard time with this question.
Okay.
But I think I got one.
All right.
I think that I would like to see Wes Anderson's film oeuvre adapted into comic form. And what's more, I think that you can create a shared universe with all of these different films. And I mean, obviously they don't all take place in the same time frame.
Right.
But you can create a shared history where all these events took place.
Okay.
And you've got drama, you've got teenage relationship stuff, you've got heist stories.
Yeah.
You've got deep sea adventure.
Murder.
You've got like really cool wartime era period piece.
True.
You've even got a little bit of talking animal stuff going on.
Yeah.
I think it would be, you could have a really compelling. So
there's going to be talking animals.
Hell yes. Okay. Well, maybe, okay. Maybe
the
not.
Fantastic Mr.
Maybe,
Fox is going to show
maybe
up.
That, maybe not that because that was a Roald Dahl book.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we'll take out the talking animals.
Okay. So no Fantastic Mr. Fox.
No.
All right.
But I think that you could have this little comic book universe with all of these different genres.
Sure.
Within, but all with the same tone, right?
Like maybe James Caan hires the the lawn wranglers to go rob the estate of the, why can't I say the name of the family?
The Tenenbaums?
Yeah, to go rob the Tenenbaums.
No, they have to go over to, Eastern Europe.
Oh, they don't have that kind of money.
Yeah.
Caan is small
this
time.
This is a big job. And they have to perform an Ocean's 11 style heist on the Grand Budapest Hotel.
I'd rather see him break into the Tannenbaum's place and Ari and Uzi are home alone and have to fight him off.
Like Home Alone.
Home Alone style.
Yeah. That would be great.
That would be awesome.
With BB guns and genetically with highly trained mice.
Yeah, it'd be kick ass. I love it. The Wes Anderson U. I love it.
Yeah, I think it would be super great.
The WAU.
Now, who do you get to create these books? God almighty, I don't know. It would have to be all of these hipster comic darlings.
Star studded.
I'm thinking like Craig Thompson does one. Definitely. I am blanking on the artist of Lumberjanes. Is it Noel Stevenson?
Yes. Noel Stevenson definitely does one.
I want Ryan North, who writes Squirrel Girl and Lumberjanes.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't write Lumberjanes. He writes, he wrote The Midas Flesh. He writes Adventure Time. He writes Squirrel Girl. I want him to write one. All of these very hip, up and coming indie creators with very clever voices.
Totally.
That were certainly weaned on Wes Anderson's style of dialogue and all that.
That'd be fun.
I think that would be super fun as a series of comics.
Yeah. Okay, mine was almost a comic, but it didn't happen. Back in 2009, I was following Paul Pope on his blog, where he would just throw out, you know, sketches and whatnot. He started to do like a newspaper-style comic strip of Frank Herbert's Dune.
No!
And he was going to do this long-form Dune comic strip. And it was so f-ing cool. It was amazing. I love Dune. I've read the books. I love the weird David Lynch movie. And I would love to see Paul Pope's long form story of Dune. I mean, and just work on it for the rest of your life, man. I don't care. I'm in. That would be so kick ass. But even better would be if he hooked up with Jodorowsky, the director that was going to make Dune back in the 70s. And they made a documentary called Jodorowsky's Dune. He has since then written a bunch of comics for
Humanoids.
Thank you. Humanoids Publishing. I would love to see him team up with Paul Pope to illustrate his version of Dune. Oh my God. It would be completely bonkers. It would be the best sci-fi epic ever. I would love it.
That's
I
a
want
good answer.
It so bad. Get on Kickstarter, guys. I will give you all of my money to do this. It's not a lot. I'll be honest.
I had a backup answer if I couldn't come up with a good hook for the Wes Anderson thing. And that would be for Andy Diggle and Jock to team up to do a super serious A-Team comic.
Ooh, that's a good team.
Now, there were A-Team comics, I believe, kids comics. They were like Star comics.
Yeah, they were lame.
So I don't really count them. It's almost like the A-Team, the animated series kind of stuff.
No, that'd be a fun.
But like a
I'd read that.
Like a Vertigo A-Team comic written by the creative team of The Losers.
Cool.
Yeah. I would be heavy into that.
All right. That would be fun.
Yeah.
This turned out to be completely kick-ass.
Fun.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody that called in, that emailed in. I cannot believe how good your answers were. You guys should all be writing these comics. Go pitch them and write them. Get them out there. Start a webcomic.
You've got my vote.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you so much. We don't have a show without you guys and girls. Love hearing from you. We got another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast coming up next week, where we're going to be playing Ask a Nerd. So please get us your Ask a Nerd questions. We also already have a new question of the week that is up. Joe Patrick, what is this new question of the week?
Two for two. This week's question, also from Black Scorpion.
Man, that guy's good.
As we record this, it is D-Day, June 6th.
D-Day.
D-Day. He wants to know, what is your favorite Nazi fighting tale from comics?
All right. Man versus Nazi.
Lots to think about.
Yeah.
A lot of options.
Yeah. I like that. We're going to get historical. Somewhat historical. There's still Nazis.
Historical fiction.
Yeah. But there's still that. It could be a modern, you know, Nazi battle.
Sure.
We still see Cap fighting Nazis all the time for good reason. They're assholes.
They are, yes.
All right. My favorite is the Blues Brothers versus the Illinois Nazis. It's fantastic.
My favorite is when Hitman had to fight the Mauser, which was a demon formed from a bunch of dead Nazi sharpshooters.
The Mauser.
The Mauser.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Awesome. I cannot wait to hear what you guys have to say about it. Alec Baldwin is going to be on here shortly to tell you how to contact us. He's not going to be happy.
He's so bitter.
He really is. And he just gets worse every week. Thank you so much for listening, kids. Like I said, we don't have a show without you. This is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.
Alec Baldwin here. And when I'm not staring into the business end of an empty pill bottle, hoping death would be my excuse for not ever having to work with these idiots again, I'm telling you how to contact this show. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.